For this evening's entertainment, I've got little idea I was working on was how do we develop quality of life, say on a day-to-day basis. And naturally, being Buddhist and being meditators, you will have a natural intuitive feel for this area. And so, you know, what are we actually talking about when we talk about developing quality of life? I mean, what does it actually mean to you? And so, you know, the words that sort of resonate, or say the words and the feelings which resonate with myself is quality of experience, and you know, say day to day experience, your emotional mindset, quality of friends and hobbies and interests. Because when you're actually living your life in a way which is interesting, fulfilling, enjoyable, creative, and actually, you know, it means something to you, then, you know, you may feel you may feel that your life is actually worth living. And that should, you know, protect some people from potential suicide. But you know, quite seriously, that it's when if you really feel intrinsically that your life has value and meaning, and you know, you're actually doing what you would really like to do in life. And you know, there was that classic clip by Alan Watts, you know, that formerly that famous Zen teacher, who was also an academic and also was a counselor on the within the student fraternity. And you know, he's got a clip on YouTube, "If Money Was No Object," and which really hit the nail on the head as far as people, you know, actually having, you know, real fulfillment of their life experience. And so, you know, each person, you know, you see within yourself, you know, I mean, what will it actually take to make you genuinely happy on a day-to-day basis? I mean, naturally, you know, every single one of us, we all have our ups and downs, we have our moods, you know. Some days, you know, we may be running high, you know, and some days we feel low. So it's just a natural experience of the human condition that, you know, you're not going to be on top of the world even half the time that you're actually alive as a human being. You know, you're going to go through some very extreme states. But when you move in a direction of fulfillment, when you actually do those things, those activities, especially, which are very, you know, very, very important to you, and you know, it's really going to make you feel that your life is worth living. You know, because all of us get caught up. You know, anyone who's who works, you know, either part-time or full-time, especially full-time, that, you're busting your chops trying to, you know, to make money, to cover your expenses, your bills, and, you know, raise your children and run your household and your vehicles and this and that, you know, to buy your, you know, the interesting toys that we have, in our homes and residences. So, you know, but you know, there's more to life than just, you know, just making money and making as much money as you possibly can. And you know, some people, they half kill themselves trying to make bags and bags of money. And you know, you look at them very, very closely, and you know, many of these people aren't really, really happy. You know, they've got, you know, nice big homes and flash cars. You know, maybe very, very nice sports cars and gold watches and the latest gadgets and phones and all the rest of it. But you know, you look at them really, really closely, and many of these people, they're not happy. You know, they're not really happy at all because, you know, they're just half killing themselves, just trying to make as much money as they can in the shortest possible time, which is, you know, which might be okay if you like that kind of thing. But I wouldn't, you know, with my kind of mindset, I mean, it really doesn't impress me at all, because it doesn't bring you real happiness, and it doesn't, in 90% of cases, really and fully develop your personality and your skills and abilities across the range. You know, because, you know, if you're talking about real, you know, real happiness and fulfillment on the personal level, you know, you've got to find out what is really important to you in your life. And that just that, you know, that classics, that classic clip by Alan Watts, you know, that, you know, after, you know, giving his, say, synopsis, and this guy was pretty bright. He was a PhD lecturer, and had quite a bit of brain power. But, you know, because he was a long-term Zen practitioner, which tends to easily double to triple your insight and understanding of the world. You know, anyone who meditates even for 5 minutes a day is much more intuitive, is more wise, has a greater understanding of themselves and the world and social dynamics than the average person who's walking the streets, you know, who's just sort of cruising along, you know, living their life the way that the television tells you and the internet tells you and all this kind of silly stuff, you know. Mainstream people, it's not that people aren't aware of this and people don't understand the dynamics behind this process, but, you know, just slowly we become victims of conditioning, and when you just get bombarded by all this silly stuff, you know, through advertising, through media, and through, you know, maybe Fox Channel and all this kind of stuff, that your mind starts to change in accordance with what these people want you to believe, and what they want you to believe isn't necessarily good for you, but it's good for them. You know, it increases their potential to make much more money than you've got, and to get what they want, and to increase their power and authority, and basically get them get them ahead of the game, so to speak. Now, we live in the world, but some people, it's like, you know, the whole way that society works and ticks, you know, it can be a little bit like you're a rat and you're in a cage, and you know, you're running on a treadmill, and you're going to run on that treadmill till the day you die. But, you know, if you've got some insight, some understanding, and, you know, regardless of the tradition, it can be Christian, it can be Hindu, it can be Muslim, if you've got a meditative, contemplative practice, it's going to, you know, make you much more aware of what's actually going on in the world. And when you follow the process of meditation and insight, you know, you're going to see within yourself, you know, exactly what makes you tick, you know, exactly what will make you feel great love and joy, and the kind of happiness where, you know, even if you found your life's ambition, you found your life's path, you know, that particular approach to life, those things which nothing else can match, you know, that money can't match, that power can't match. The person finds a life direction, which really fulfills you, you know, very, very deeply on the heart level. And, you know, even if somebody, you know, just as a wild statement, even if somebody said, look, you can go this particular way, which is incredibly rewarding, but, you know, I'm going to come along in 12 months' time, and I'm going to put a gun to your head and take your life away. And these people, they would, it's the kind of mindset you would have no regrets. You know, every day that you live is worth living. You know, it's going to have its ups and downs, and you're going to have an interchange of different experiences, different, people and social engagements, and, you know, there's going to be stuff happening for you. But it's like when it comes to your personality and your intelligence and your creativity, you're moving towards a sense of, in relation to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like a sense of self-actualization, where you reach the pinnacle of your personal development, regardless of whatever sphere of your makeup, we're looking at. So, you know, all the, you know, because, you know, with this feely path that we're walking, you know, step by step, as the weeks and the months and the years go by, you know, then you have that increased sensitivity, intuitive awareness of what makes you up, you know, your strengths and weaknesses, your loves and your hates, and, you know, the karma, the dynamics between yourself and other people. You know, you get very, very sensitive with this kind of phenomena. And, you know, and even with myself, you know, naturally I have my good days and I wouldn't say I have an incredibly bad days in the monk's life. You may have a couple of hours where that with the mind it might be in a low state, but it usually comes up reasonably quickly. But the whole business with the, you know, with dynamics, with your personal karma and your people dynamics, and you develop this kind of sense of, you know, we're all in this together, and you look at other people as your friends and your, God, what would you say, compatriots in this path that we are walking, you know, not only in this life, it may take us a couple of lifetimes to get this together, but realistically, you know, you just can't go wrong. You know, every single day that, you know, you walk the walk, you know, you are another step closer to Nibbana. So, you know, all the efforts and the skillful actions that we perform are moving in this direction, and you know it's another drop in the bucket till you reach that point where the water overflows and your mind actually breaks through to this ultimate realization of Nibbana. You know, they say the full penetration, this understanding of the mind-body complex and the realities, the natural laws which compose and drive this universe of ours. So, you know, when we look at the dynamics of this kind of experience, you look within yourself, and you know, you ask yourself, I mean, you know, what am I really, you know, really interested in doing, you know, on the personality level, you know, what really, really, you know, say turns me on the emotional, psychological and intellectual level. Because many people, you know, they go through their lives, and they, you know, they just get caught in the same trap that many of us are stuck in. Maybe the words might be a little bit too strong in the sense, but you know, all of us, you know, the vast majority of us, you know, have to, you know, people in mainstream society have to work for a living. You know, there are ways and means. You know, you can sort of skirt the system and say, like, operate and function on a, say, like a boundary level, on a peripheral level, where you don't you don't need incredible amounts of money. You know, you don't necessarily need a car to function and to get you places. You know, it's like one of the Anagarikas who was with us previously, who passed away, and you know, he has operated in this particular zone where, you know, he was able to live in general society without, you know, without working for a living. You know, he just had enough money to get by. You know, wasn't running a vehicle, had no real major expenses, but he was doing charity work. He was supporting different organisations, and you know, he had a place to live. He had a roof over his head. He had enough food to fill his belly on a day-to-day basis, and his particular interest was supporting disadvantaged people, underprivileged people in the general community in a number of areas. It could be poverty-stricken people or single mothers or handicapped people. You know, he would move for certain durations of time, and then he would move. He would make himself available to a particular facility, and he would put his full energies into this organization, into their committees, into their network, and he would support them to the best of his ability. And, you know, there was a person who really enjoyed helping, you know, people within this, who were disadvantaged. In, you know, it could be from another a number of angles, but, you know, he really enjoyed helping and supporting others. So, you know, for himself, that was the right way for him to go, and that was his way of experiencing fulfillment on the personal level. But, you know, with some other people, it could be things like, you know, being incredibly creative, being some kind of artist. You know, it could be a person who likes to maybe specialize in sculpture, or it could be tapestry, it could be anything. You know, anything that a person could, you know, say, like, fantasizes about. You know, like, you can have your dreams. There's no harm in having say incredibly ambitious dreams, as long as you feel that it's actually realistically possible, you know, over the course of maybe 5 years or 10 years. And even if you feel that you are just one person who has this very, very, say, highfalutin and say mentality. And you have this life's goal, this project, this ambition, maybe some kind of creative ambition that you wish to achieve in your lifetime, and you may think to yourself that it's just, you know, it's a real wild card. It's something that, you know, I haven't got the cash. You know, I haven't got the financial reserves. I may feel that I'm not talented enough. I'm not such a great, maybe a public speaker, or I don't have the ability to network or socialize, or you know, or whatnot. But you know, you're looking at, you know, you've got an ability to manipulate the dynamics. You know, even if you, it could be something like you want to sort of maybe create a natural resort where people can come stay. Say people who are incredibly sick, they could be dying of cancer. You could want to develop a natural facility where you specialize in meditation and yoga and healing, healing very, very, very sick people who have a short duration of time on this planet. So, you know, naturally people with cancers are well aware of this kind of experience. You know, you could have weeks or months or possibly years, but a person could have a genuine aspiration, but they may feel that they don't have the creative potential to develop a, say, full-blown facility in this kind of developing this kind of say infrastructure, for say choice of better words. So, but you know, you're not necessarily an island to yourself. You know, as you move along, you know, say for example, you're moving in this particular direction. And as you know, especially these days where you have very, very strong links on the internet, you know, people can network very, very effectively. They can put their ideas out there. They can get people on board. So, you know, you may feel that you just can't possibly do it alone. But over the span of a couple of years, if you pull like-minded people into your fraternity, and you could potentially get maybe even half a dozen or even a dozen very, very solid, grounded, key people who think, who have a similar mindset to yourself and are interested in moving in this direction. They may have slight variations on a theme. You know, they may not think exactly like you, but the general understanding is that the goal that they wish to achieve is exactly what you would like to achieve, you know, within a general framework. So, you know, you network and you dialogue and you meet and discuss and you pull your resources. I mean, you just imagine what half a dozen or a dozen very, very determined people, you know, what they can do, what they can achieve over 5 years or 10 years, and they could achieve quite an incredible amount, you know, if they pull their talents and their resources. So when we look at these kind of dynamics. So, and we talk about some, you know, quality of life, say in relation to friends and associates, and you know, and especially, you know, like the monks don't have you know, at present, and will probably be like this for some time, as long as the dynamics at Jhana Grove are reasonable, that you know the monks, you know, don't have 3G. Access, you know, whatsoever. So we don't get into any kind of networking format, you know, sort of networking state of mind, and that. But you know, all of you have easily 75% or more of you have that kind of get into that kind of dynamics kind of mindset with other people on the internet. And but you know, you look within yourself. I mean, you know, what kind of people do you want to associate with? You know, and especially as Buddhists, because of the increased sensitivity and awareness, that it's always best to associate with good good quality people, because if you want to live a good life, it defies the purpose of associating with select drug users or people with criminal tendencies or people who are incredibly risk takers on a social level. It could be people who sort of live life on the wild side, but could potentially get you in trouble along the way. So you want to mix with people who are good for you, who encourage your good qualities, your latent abilities. They're people who they make you feel generally happy and at ease. They bring forth good qualities in you. They're interesting. It's the kind of people that it's time well spent. If you spend time with someone and you walk away and it was you didn't enjoy it, you didn't get anything out of it, and you may feel within yourself that it might have been a complete waste of time, because if you look at your life in general terms, you've got a limited amount of time up your sleeve before you get snatched at some point in the future, maybe some more sooner than others, because we really don't know what's around the corner, what kind of karma's coming up for you. And you may feel that you're incredibly healthy, you're young, dynamic, and all this kind of stuff, but no one can say exactly what's in store another 6 months, another 12 months, another 10 years from now. So the people that you mix with, they need to the quality, the underlying qualities, wholesome qualities. They're kind of people who sort of bring that forth in you. They're people who generally they're interesting in nature. You can speak with them. You can dialogue, and you walk away with a sense of potentially time spent, because if you're going to be spending months or years with your associates, your friends and associates, it's good to sort of keep this in mind in the long term, because you may be knocking around with these people for say like 10 or even 20 or 30 years. And so if we look at the big picture of our lives, and you look at the karmic dynamics between people, every single one of us has things that we owe other people. We may have the stuff that we have to essentially like work through, and so that maybe possibly there may be possibly maybe paybacks, and you may have to spend time with some person, maybe a couple of months or a couple of years, or maybe even the rest of your life, because it's karmically necessary. You may have very, very strong links with that person in a past life, and you don't really have that much choice. You may have to spend time with that person for whatever it takes, hopefully for good. But with some people, it may not necessarily thrill you or be so conducive. But you might be stuck with that person for some time, because they're your mum or your dad or your brother or your sister, and you basically can't give them the flick. They're going to be with you for a sort of on and off for whatever, for how long it takes to resolve any kind of sort of karmic residue between you. So, you know, with any luck, that the time that you spend with them will be well spent in the long run, because, you know, for most of us, we can't dodge and weave if it's not that particular person that you're stuck with, or, you know, there could possibly be disadvantages to the connection, the relationship format, that you may not have any choice. You may have to spend a certain period of time. You know, you could just pass that person in life, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, a couple of months. You could be traveling the world and, you know, spend it could be a couple of weeks with a person and they make an incredible impression upon you, but, you know, you may never see that person again because of circumstances, and it can be quite interesting what can happen. So that will be part of your life experience, but essentially that as long as you know, you're increasing your learning and your understanding, and, you know, you actually, you know, gain some benefit from the time that you have together with that individual. And so So for example, you know, with this creative potential, we look at the overall, say, dynamics with a person's personality. So, you know, what you actually see in your personality that you would like to develop. So, you know, we have our emotional component, we have our intelligence, which can be expressed through a number of areas. You have attributes of creativity. So, you know, there's a number of dynamics to this thing that we call the self. You know, these forces and energies which comprise the personality, and you've got the potential there to develop oneself, to the best of your ability, over the span of your life. And one of the worst things that could possibly happen, and this is not necessarily something which comes up with the Buddhists so much or religious practitioners, but if you die as ignorant as the day you were born, that's just an incredible loss, and it's an incredible waste of the human potential. So, you know, it's essentially, it's good to remain true to your heart. You know, just look very, very clearly within yourself and ask yourself, you know, what would bring you the greatest happiness in life? You know, what kind of dynamics would make you incredibly happy over the course of your life? And even the day that you pass away, there's absolutely no regrets whatsoever. And that would be a life well lived, and karmically, you know, as you look at the overall dynamics with your karma, you know, essentially you can't lose, regardless of which direction you move. You try to realize your personal potential to the best of your ability, and that will be karmically wholesome to a large degree, and it'll be time that's very well spent in the long term. So I will open the floor to questions, arguments, if you wish, and views and opinions. So please don't be shy. Whatever you've got, just lay it on me.
Ajit Api.
Yep.
Can I say something?
Yep.
Yeah. actually, I just happy quality of life, very interesting topic. You know. I was thinking about the Buddha's middle way. Yeah. If you tune the guitar string too much, it will snap. And if you leave it too loose, it won't play. So now how do we tune to the middle way whereby it plays the best, you know? I was just thinking, because we associated, normal human being, we associated quality of life with the material world. Maybe to cut that down and to look inwards, you know. Looking inwards is letting go of the negativities in us. Greed, hatred, delusion, you know. To live a balanced life. What do you think?
How do we develop a balanced life? Following the middle way,
yeah.
So
to tune the guitar string to the best possible tune, you know. Remembering,
yes,
if you tune the guitar string, if it too much, it will snap, and if you leave it too loose, it won't play.
So how do we achieve a state of balance, a state of tune?
Yep.
The middle way with our life experience. And so, you know, you look within yourself, you look at your mind, your personality, the energies that you see within your mind and personality experience, the energies that you have available to you within this physical body, because, you know, all of us are at different levels of health, energy, and capability, for choice of words. And you know, if you move in a particular direction, hopefully, a wholesome direction, that the person needs to understand what their capabilities and their limits are, because say for example, one example would be you could have a person who is an outstanding athlete. They could be a person who specializes in sprinting. You know, it could be whatever, say 200, 400 meter marathons, and that person, you know, they have a training routine and training regime on, say, like a daily basis. But there's something you'll see very, very clearly if a person like overtrains, over exercises, then the body can become exhausted, and even sometimes even emotionally, the emotions get affected. Person can develop things like chronic fatigue. It's just one area which that you can see much more clearly. But regardless of whatever you're looking at, whether it's even creative talents, it could be helping and supporting others. You need to know what the limits are, the limits of your capability, because you essentially you've got to be able to look after and protect yourself to a degree as well. You know, it's all very nice to be very compassionate and to help others, but you've got to work within, say, like a comfortable range, regardless of whatever capabilities we're looking at. That say like a yardstick would be is if you are moving in a particular direction or a particular area, that if you have the ability to sustain that on a day-to-day basis, or say like even say a week-to-week basis, you know, if you could sustain your approach on a day-to-day basis, that would be very, very clear to me that you're working within a comfortable parameter. And and naturally, you know, people could have a lifestyle approach which could run, say, like on a weekly cycle. It could be meetings, it could be business, it could be organisations which they're involved with on a week to week level. Not every single day, but maybe one day a week, 2 days a week. But the same principle as well. If you can work comfortably, within a specific time frame, in the long term, then it's very, very clear to me, to you, that you've got the resources and you can sustain it. But you know, if you can't sustain it after 6 months, 12 months, you know, you um, It may be too much. You may be taking on too much, expending, just maybe expending too much energy, or whatnot. So you've got to look after yourself as well. You've got to protect your psychological health, your physical and emotional well-being. You know, because if you give so much of yourself that you end up an emotional and physical wreck. You know, you're not going to be in a position to be of any help to anyone, especially yourself, because the dynamics are coming from yourself and then radiating out towards other people in the general community. And next question. Yep. Thank you. So, Issa from Texas, USA. If you currently don't feel you know what your path or passion is, will it get more noticeable with meditation? It certainly will, because many of you know that, you know, the more you meditate, the more sensitive you get on the physical, the emotional level, the more intuitive you get, even psychologically, the ability to greater awareness of your moods, your mind states, your views and opinions, why you think the things you do, why you do the things you do, the kind of people you mix with, and the kind of things that you like, and the people that you hate, for choice of as an extreme. So meditation, it makes you quite sensitive, but it's part of the business. It's making you aware, and it's teaching you, because meditation is very much it's a feely practice, and if you don't feel anything, or if you don't feel very much at all, you're not really opening yourself up to a greater sphere of experience. So this is one of the values of meditation, and if you don't know what your life path is, if you don't really know where you're at, and I know a particular person who at age 15 they had a very, very strong interest in spirituality and Zen and meditation, but it took them 15 years for that path to really become clear and for them to make very clear decisions to actually walk the walk. And some people it might take 30 years, it might take 40 years, but if that's as long as it takes, I wouldn't lose too much sleep, because the thing is you're working with your personal karma, and you really may not have any choice at all. You can't accelerate or push this process any faster than you're capable of. And one of the lines that Ajahn Suchito would sometimes drop was with some of the junior monks, would get too gung-ho and they would really push too hard with the meditation, maybe 5-6 hours plus a day, where people start getting tense, they start getting edgy, start getting angry. A one-liner that he would drop is with the junior monks is like, you've got a four-cylinder vehicle, and you're putting your foot to the floor, but you can only go so fast with the vehicle that you have. So people are at different levels, they have different capabilities and energies, and you just work with what you've got. And if it doesn't become clear for another 20 years, another 30 years, that's just part of your karmic makeup, and that's the way it's meant to be. Because if it was meant to be that a light would turn on an incredible brilliance would arise in your mind, and you knew exactly where you were at and which direction you were heading. You know, so for example, in 1 year or 2 years, all well and good, but it's people they have different makeups, and you know, things happen in their own time, so to speak. So, Martin from Czech Republic, sometimes I know that the quality of my life is going to decrease. How should I approach it? Well, what would I do? What would I do if I'm in your shoes? Sometimes I know that the quality of my life is going to decrease. How should I approach it? All right, so if that was happening to me, I mean, I would stop and reflect very, very circumspectly why my life was taking a downturn, why my personal experience was starting to drop off or take a turn for the worse, because our lives are conditioned and things work on a cause and effect principle. So if my life is going down the bathroom plug, there's got to be a reason for this. So you really need to understand why the quality of your life is deteriorating, why you are becoming unhappy, why your friends, maybe friends might be moving away from you, or it could be anything. And you need to understand quite clearly, exactly the dynamics, what is happening to you and the reasons behind it. Because if you don't see what's going on there, and things are not clear, and it means your life could possibly maybe start to say take a fall, and you don't necessarily, you don't want to bring something like that on. So use your wisdom faculty and just look at the changing dynamics of your life and why it's going that way. It's not happening by itself. There's probably very, very clear reasons why it's moving in that particular direction. So really put emphasis on the wisdom faculty and make the changes which are necessary to improve the conditions that are presently available. So, do we have any more questions from the floor? You're a very easy bunch to please. Okie dokie. Doesn't look like anyone has any other material to come up with, so we'll call it a night. So if I hand it back to Drew, I'm not sure if there's anything else you want to say.
That was it. So we'll just give the sadhu.
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 Okay, thank you kindly. We'll pay respects to Buddha Dhamma Sangha and finish up.